You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Public Service Minister Nicola Willis has directed ministry bosses to tighten up on working from home. Heart of the City has said workers returning to the office will help struggling businesses in Auckland city centre, and that Auckland Council could lead the way to revitalising the CBD by adapting its current policy. However, after reviewing its working from home policies, Council has decided it is not going to change its flexible working arrangements. Additionally, this week, a large rubbish bin graveyard in central Auckland has sparked public outrage. This comes after Council's removal of public bins as part of Council's cost-saving drive, promising to save ratepayers $9 million by getting rid of 30% of the region's public bins. I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics. Public Service Minister Nicola Willis has directed ministry bosses to tighten up on working from home. However, Auckland Council has decided to not change its working from home policies. Firstly, what is Council's current policy on this topic?
So it depends quite a bit on the type of work that you're doing. Obviously, there's some work where you're out on the road a lot, like, say, building inspectors or people who are working with our community groups. And then there's other people who would have, more desk-oriented jobs. But the general rule is people are expected to be in the office about 3 days a week, and then they have two other days where they can request flexible working. Obviously that differs case by case, but that's been the case since before the COVID lockdowns. We used to have it when I was a local board chair. We would have staff were usually in the office on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If we needed to meet with them on a Monday or a Friday, then they would come in for that. To be honest, I found it a really useful arrangement for them.
Why is Council keeping its flexible working arrangements as is?
Well, I think it's about sort of thinking about what is the actual problem here. And if the problem is that there aren't enough people in the city centre, then Council's workforce is a relatively small component of that. And a lot of our people actually work in Albany or Henderson or Monaco or out in local board offices or whatever. So our sort of contribution to the I think it's something like 2% of the workforce in the city centre, something like that. So, we're not necessarily going to shift the dial anyway. But at the moment we have got like 80%, 90% occupancy of people coming into our offices to work anyway. So it's sort of, what is the actual problem here? The problem here is that there's a lot of work that's happened in the city centre, and that can be off-putting for people, particularly around Midtown, which is where the main Auckland Council building is. But we've actually moved staff into that building from other locations. So we've actually been increasing the foot traffic in the area, and once Te Wai Horatiu station opens, which is diagonally opposite from the main council building, there's going to be a huge influx of people using this area as well.
To add on to what you're saying there, Heart of the City has expressed wanting to address the fact that the amount of people in the CBD every day is down by 30,000 from pre-COVID levels. Is this something council is concerned about?
Well, the thing is that we actually invest quite a lot in the city centre in making it a great place to live, work, visit. You can see that because there's a lot of work underway to finish projects that will make it nicer, like Te Hau Noa on Victoria Street, the Linear Park, which has just got trees put in, which is fantastic, nearly there. And also we invest a lot in what are called activations. So things that are happening in the city centre that attract people there during the week as well as, events on the weekend and stuff like that. Absolutely Council's keen to attract people to the city centre. I think one of the trends that's had a much bigger impact is there's a lot of vacant office buildings that aren't council buildings. And also we lost a lot of international students who were not just studying in the city but often living in the city too. And that stuff's rebounding, but will take time. And there are questions about whether that industry was particularly sustainable before the lockdowns as well. So maybe that's a permanent shift, we don't know. But I think it would help to attract people to the city if people united around a positive narrative about how great the city centre is to be in. I come here a lot. I work here usually at least 3 days a week. I bring my kids here on the weekends because it's actually a pretty cool place to be. And it's a far cry from the city centre of my childhood, where we would come in every once or twice a year, usually to go to the Santa Parade. Now people bring come in to spend time here when they don't have to, on a regular basis, which is pretty cool.
I also wanted to ask you about Council's work removing some public rubbish bins this year. Earlier this year, some Auckland Council public rubbish bins were removed as part of Council's cost-saving drive, promising to save ratepayers $9 million by getting rid of 30% of the region's public bins. The policy was met with much criticism, with concerns being raised by local board members, ratepayers, and environmental groups over increased litter. What was the criteria for which bins were going to be removed?
So they were looking at bins where it was one of the first criteria was it's the kind of place where people are in nature and already expect, because we have this policy with regional parks have no bins at all, they haven't for years, but where people expect to pack in and pack out, so take their rubbish with them. So that was one of the criteria. Another was low use, which we can tell from our contractors in terms of how often they're emptying them. Often when there was more than one bin in a place, so you weren't removing all bins, you were just removing, say, one out of three bins or something like that. So those were the kind of criteria that were looked at. My expectation when we passed that policy, which everybody voted for, by the way, was that there would be much closer work with the local boards to identify which bins should stay and go. Local boards hold the local knowledge around that. They might know, for example, yes, this one is not used much in the winter, but actually in summer there's a sailing club that operates from this park, and so we know that it's really busy at certain times of the year, so reducing the bin there is not necessarily a good idea. Or this takeaway we know is really busy, so actually it needs two bins, not one bin near that. So, and for some local boards that conversation happened, and for some it didn't, and it's particularly in the areas where that conversation I think didn't happen, or didn't happen well enough, that we had a lot of issues. And that's, that's an implementation issue, and I fully accept we didn't get that right.
A large rubbish bin graveyard in central Auckland has been found following the mass removal of public bins earlier this year. This has led to outrage from many locals. Were there explicit plans about where the bins would go?
So what we were expecting was that they would be stored. And so the ones that have been removed are being stored to use as replacement bins when other bins get damaged, and also to use for parts as well. So, sometimes a bin liner has been damaged. You don't need to replace the whole unit. Here you go, you've got some spare parts. Then ones that were sort of perhaps too old or damaged or whatever would be recycled. So broken down, some of them are metal, some of them are concrete. There's ways of recycling those scrap metal, that kind of stuff. So I found it really interesting that people got upset about those photos, because these are bins that lived outside before this, and they're designed to live outside. Also, many of them, the designs do not allow for them to stand upright without a concrete base, without being concreted into the ground. So actually having them sort of, tidily standing around was not going to be able to happen for a lot of them anyway. I accept that they weren't stored as tidily as I would have expected, but they were always going to be stored outside. They are not in public areas. They're behind fences. They're secure. They are being tidied up. But it's sort of like, what level of storage did people expect for rubbish bins, which normally sit outside and collect rubbish? So, they're quite robust. And then, what cost would it have been for us to have, for example, stored them inside, perhaps had little compartments for each one? I sort of joked about, we're supposed to have them in a little rubbish bin hotel. There's, yes, they should look better than they do. They should be more organised. But actually storing them outside in a secure depot is what I was expecting, and that is what has happened.
In response to some of public's concerns, do you think increased litter has been an issue since removing the bins?
I suspect it's probably too soon to tell, to be honest. So the bins have been removed between November and March this year, and we probably need a full calendar cycle to really get a sense of that. So, for example, a lot of the bins in my area weren't removed until the end of that period, and so it's probably, whereas often a lot of that litter happens over over summer. The other thing is that there have been instances where, a local board or constituents have recognised, hey, there's a problem here, you shouldn't have taken this bin away, and actually councils have looked at that and put a bin back. So, there is absolutely some finessing to do. It wasn't rolled out as well as I think any of us expected, but it's probably too soon to say whether it has resulted in increased litter. We have had a couple of instances where people complained about there being a whole lot of litter there and said it was because a bin had been removed and actually there was no bin there previously. So it sort of heightens people's awareness of loose litter, which is a good thing. Hopefully they'll report it and we'll pick it up, because a lot of that stuff is reactive. We need people to report stuff so that we can send stuff to the right places. But it's probably too soon to tell if there's a trend.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to me about Council's working from home policies and a rubbish bin graveyard found near Auckland Domain following Council removing public rubbish bins as part of its cost-saving drive.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Councilling on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.